Okay, Andre asked me just to say a few introductory words, so I'm not going to give a message. It's going to be about 15 minutes, so it's going to be short. Just tell you a little bit about myself, and then a little bit about... Actually, I'm going to also let my wife, Wendy. She looks like a very calm, middle-aged woman, but make no mistake, she's a warrior. When she gets up in the morning, the demons say, "Oh no, it's her." She's quite a lady, and she's got some amazing stories, and I'm going to let her take a few minutes to tell some of those. My name is Jürgen. I'm from Victoria. When I was a young man, I ran a business on Ford Street in Victoria, a printing business. It was a hobby that mushroomed into a business, but I never wanted to do that long term, and so I said, "Lord, sell the business. Whenever you want to sell this business, just go right ahead." From when I was a kid, I read some of the stories about missionaries like Hudson Taylor that went to China, William Carey that went to India, and some of these other guys in the 1800s that had these amazing experiences, and I thought, that's what I would like to do. But now I was running a printing business. I thought, well, this is not what I had in mind. So I said, "God, just sell this business whenever you want." And one day a man walked in the door. He had come from Toronto. He was looking for a business to buy. He came in the door and he said, "Would you like to sell your business?" I said, "Yeah." I had no idea what I would do afterwards, but here was a buyer. And so we proceeded to talk about it, and he came back a couple of times. He wanted to buy, and I felt like Abraham walking out with no idea where I was going, but I told the Lord to sell it, and here was a buyer, and so I proceeded with that. Well, around that time, a missionary visited the church where I attended, and he said that he was wanting to set up a gospel press in Bolivia. Does anybody know where Bolivia is? Bolivia? And if you go down to Seattle, keep on going. Central America, South America, right in the heart of South America. It's a country about the size of British Columbia, roughly. And it straddles the Andes Mountains. So you have highlands, valleys, and then tropical lowlands. Anyway, he was working in Bolivia, and he was interested in setting up a gospel press. I said, "You know what? I'm just selling a business. That would really interest me." And he invited me to Vancouver to talk to him about it. And he said, "Look, I invite you to come down for 2 years. If your church is supportive, we'll commend you. You're welcome to come." So I remember going to talk to the elders, thinking, okay, Lord, what are they going to say? And I said, "Lord, I know that you're going to use them to guide me, either to say yes or no, whatever it is, that's good." And we talked and prayed, and they felt that God was leading me in that direction. And so the business sold, and in a few months' time, I was off to South America. That was 1977, 45 years ago. 2 years turned into 45 years. And not only did I get involved with the gospel press, but I got involved with church planting and starting a school and radio work and now teaching in a Bible school down there. And it's been quite an adventure. You know, sometimes missionaries get put on pedestals, like there's these spiritual giants. Well, we're really just normal people, and God maybe has led you to become a dentist or a constructor or something else. Well, he led me down there, and we've been able to be involved in what God is doing in that country for the last number of years, and I'll probably tell you some of those stories during our time here, but... I went down to Bolivia single. I was married. I was born single, like some of you guys. But then the Lord gave me a life partner. I met her on the first time I came to Canada, and I spoke at the church where she attended in Courtney. And then about a year and a half later, I got shipped home with hepatitis, and I got better, and I got married. And and the Lord gave me a life partner that turned out to be more of a missionary than I was. And she's going to tell you some of her stories. So maybe I'll just get her to do that. And then at the end of that, I'll just briefly talk about where we're going to go with our sessions tomorrow and on Sunday. So, Wendy, share with them a little bit, please.
Thank you. Yeah, good evening, everyone. It's a real treat to be here. You've heard a little bit about Jurgen's beginnings on the mission field, and then when I went down, we were married in 1982, and I got involved with, you know, teaching Sunday school and teaching women's groups. When I first taught a women's group, one of the ladies never showed up again. And years later, I found out, she said, "Wendy, your Spanish was so bad. I felt so sorry for you. I just never could go again." Oh, I'm so glad I didn't know that, because I would have been so discouraged. But anyway, you know, just, yeah, like Jurgen said, missionaries were just normal people. And I always feel like God delights to use the least likely person. And after many years on the mission field and having Lord blessed us with 5 children, I was homeschooling my kids. We're living in a very kind of a remote, smaller city in Bolivia, in the Andes Mountains, 4,000 meters above sea level, so not much oxygen. And this grandmother started inviting me to go to the prison, and she wouldn't take no for an answer. And I'm like, "Oh, I homeschool, and I'm involved with the church, and I'm doing this and that, and I don't have time to go to the prison." But inside I was thinking, I'm the last person to go to a prison, you know? And anyway, she was so persistent that finally I went with her. And I just knew that God was doing something in that prison. And I felt like the Lord was saying, "Wendy, do you want to just keep on doing all the stuff you're doing? Or do you want to get involved with what I'm doing here?" And I decided to say yes, and that was 20 years ago. And God has given me the greatest privilege of seeing so many transformed lives, and of seeing the power of the gospel. You know, sometimes when you grow up in a Christian home and you've never, you know, and you can find, "Oh yeah, the gospel, I've heard that so many times, and I believe it, I really do, you know." But man, I got to see with these eyes that God can transform people, and also that the gospel is good news. That's what it means, right? And I mean, I've had like a young prisoner, he was the worst serial killer in the history of Bolivia. And another prisoner who had come to know Christ said, "Wendy, I want you to talk to this young man." So we're in a cell, the two of them and myself, and I look at this beautiful young man, and he's killed like over 30 people. And, what do you say to someone like that? And I realized the only good news I could give him was the good news that Jesus died for him, and that Jesus loves him, and that the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from all sin. And you know, that young man, he hung on every word I said. I always felt like it was like if someone's drowning and you throw them a rope, and you know, they really grab a hold of that. And that was how he was that day. And then it was getting late, and in the maximum security prison that I was going to at that time, they're very strict about the hour. So I said, "Look, I have to go, but could I pray with you before I go?" So we prayed together, and when I opened my eyes, the tears were just streaming down that young man's face. And he trusted Christ, and then he was taken to another prison where they built an even more secure prison. It's a prison that has thousands of prisoners, but inside it, they built this really, really secure prison in the middle of this bigger prison. And when I got a chance to go visit that city, I went to see him, and he was just rejoicing in the Lord and in the Word. Like, I had prepared some verses to share with him, and everything I shared, he shared deeper and more profound, and it was just amazing. A year later, I went to visit him again, and out of the 30 men in the section that he was in, 29 had trusted Christ, and they call him their pastor. And if you saw that young man praising God, his face just glows. And you know, and just to see, I think of other young men that, some of them have killed a lot of people as well. One young man, he was taken by his, well, actually, he lived in the prison as a little boy because his dad was a criminal as well. And in some of the prisons in Bolivia, children actually live inside with their fathers. So he lived in the prison as just like from when he was 3 years old. And then at 8, he wound up on the streets. And at 13, someone took him to Ecuador, where there's a school for children like him that are on the streets and have nothing, and they train them to be criminals. And he was trained to be a sicario, which is a hired assassin. At 13, he killed someone for the first time in his life. And this young man, he was just so, had absolutely no hope. He had 4 prison sentences. 2 of them were for life. But that was, I met him in 2006, and he cut his wrists, tried to take his life. He felt zero hope. And just sharing the love of God with him, not necessarily always preaching, but just sharing the love of God with him. And over the years, just seeing the Lord just drawing him and freeing him from one thing and freeing him from another. And the Lord did a miracle and got him out of prison. But then the counterattack came, and the police in the Bolivian prisons, the police are the guards. And they often take prisoners like this young man, and they want to use them outside the prison when they get out to do even killing people. A lot of bad things. Anyway, but to tell you that young man today, God has blessed him with a property in the rural area, and he's developing it, and he's no longer doing any drugs, he's no longer hurting anybody, and he has the tenderest heart you could ever hope. He weeps over when he sees kids on the street. He weeps over the suffering of other people, whereas he used to delight in hurting people. And the vision he has is to reach other young people like him. And I guess probably my time's gone, but I just wanted to say, to encourage you, if you, God gives you an opportunity to get involved in what he's doing, don't hesitate. You don't have to be anybody special. In the prisons, a lot of guys call me Mama Wendy. And sometimes people say to me, well, oh, like, what do you say when you go in the prison? And I say, hi, I'm Wendy. What's your name? You know? But it's just, and I've seen God change so many lives, but it's going in there with the love of God and just being, in a sense, like a mom, because, you know, I've made birthday cakes so many times for prisoners, and so many times they've said they've never had a birthday cake their whole life before that. And just being willing to go, and God is with us, and he's the one that can do the miracles and change people's lives. So anyway, I'm happy to be here this weekend with you all, and just pray that God will really minister to all of our lives. I think we're probably all got our struggles during this time, and things are uncertain, and there's so much happening in our world, but we have a great and powerful God. We do not need to be afraid. And I just pray that we'll all be strengthened and encouraged this weekend.
I'll just take a couple of minutes and mention a little bit about what we're going to talk about. Now, Jesus had 12 disciples. And out of the group of 12, there were 3 that were the closest. That was Peter, John, and James. They were kind of the inner circle. And out of that inner circle, there was one that was most intimate with Christ, and that was John. You remember at the Last Supper, John leaned against the Lord, and he had his head on his chest. Did he hear his heartbeat? Did he hear God's heartbeat? It seemed like John captured the heart of Christ better than anyone. And he gave us a gospel that is remarkable. And it's very different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the synoptics. That means they basically show Christ from a similar optic, a similar perspective. But John breaks the mold, and he just goes in a very different direction. Someone said that the heart of the world's life is in its literature. And the heart of the world's literature is the book of God, the Bible. And the heart of the book of God is the 4 Gospels. And the heart of the 4 Gospels is the Gospel of John. It was the last book, probably the last book of the Bible to be written. And John was in his 90s, so about 6 decades had gone by since that amazing experience of walking, talking, ministering with Christ. He had been able to meditate and pray and think about what was that all about. And In his advanced years, he finally put pen to paper and he gave us the final message to the church that we have in the New Testament. And obviously, there were problems arising. There were wrong doctrines coming in. And what John does is give us a vision of Christ. And he said in his book that if everything was written that Jesus did, the world could not contain the books. So the gospel writers had to be very selective. I'm going to put this story in. I'm going to mention this parable, this incident. They selected a very few. And John selects 7 miracles. He calls them signs. A sign is something that points to something. And every one of these miracles points to who Jesus is and what he came to do. And 7 signs, he says at the end of his book, these are written, these 7 signs, that you may know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you will have life in his name. So these signs are there to help us understand who Jesus really is and to lead us to a life experience with Christ that is full and abundant. So we want to look at some of those stories and look at some of these amazing stories in the Gospel of John. 90% of John's Gospel is original. It's not found in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. We get stories that if it wasn't for John, we never would have had those stories. Nicodemus, the Samaritan woman. The woman found in adultery, the blind man, chapter 9. Those stories, John recorded them. Actually, when he was old and living in Ephesus, somebody suggested that he should document, you know, these stories that he was telling. And I guess the tradition says that they went off into the hills to pray and to fast and to seek God's leading. And they felt that God was saying, yes, go ahead. And so John began to write. And when he finished, he had produced under the inspiration of the Spirit of God the most profound book in the world, which is the Gospel of John. And it's one of those books where there's kind of layers on top of layers where you read what he says and then there's this other sort of deeper meaning. It's a remarkable book. So we want to look at some of the stories in John tomorrow and Sunday. And I trust that God will minister to your hearts as we look at Jesus through the eyes of John and think a little more about the wonderfulness of the one that we have come to know and trust. Thank you.